Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Michael Steele podcast. We're having an important discussion in the last little bit with Julie Roginski, who has been in the forefront of opening up and getting behind the veils and the curtains that NDAs represent in the lives of so many workers out there who are harassed and sexually discriminated against, racially discriminated against, and just important work. And so I, as I said before we went to break, thank you for that effort. I want to dirty our hands a little bit and get into some politics because we are 3 weeks out from major election. And really a lot of what we've been talking about kind of feeds into this narrative a little bit when you talk about how state legislatures now are responding to the Dodd decision overturning Roe versus Wade, and how women are responding, how they're reacting to this assault on their rights to make decisions that can protect their health and the health of their unborn child in some respects. How are you assessing the political landscape right now, particularly given the number of women who are running for office in this cycle, a significant number of African-American women in particular? How does all of this kind of come full circle, if it does, for you?
You know, it's interesting because if you'd asked me 6 months ago, I would have said typically social issues just don't make a difference as much as I think my party wishes they did. Mm-hmm. They typically don't. I sat through some focus groups about a year ago, maybe about 18 months ago now, and it was very, especially with primary Democratic voters, very fascinating because, you know, we've sat through focus groups as well. You segment them by typically by gender and by race and maybe by education level.
Right.
So the only people who had time to really be able to worry about social issues were college-educated white voters. Nobody else really had time to worry about that. Everybody else, and especially Latino voters, it was very fascinating. We're incredibly focused on what have you done for me lately, kind of like, are my potholes fixed? Are is my small business thriving? Are my taxes, am I paying too much in taxes? And these are primary Democratic voters. We're not even talking about anybody else. The people you think would be most kind of into this. But and same thing with everybody else. You know, you talk to non-college educated voters of any race or to African-American voters, and their attitude was, there are emergent matters now that affect me, right? It's really like, I call it the Janet Jackson model. It's what have you done for me lately? Nobody else has time to sit around thinking about somebody getting an abortion or not getting an abortion. The only people who do are people who have the financial luxury, or maybe the luxury of age, to worry about, sit back and worry about that happening. So if you had asked me 6 months ago, before Roe got overturned, I would have said, even if Roe gets overturned, I still don't think it's going to make that much of an impact. I'm not so sure now, but I'm still not prepared to say that it's going to be a decisive factor.
Right.
There are things that I think are more decisive. Do I think that there are a bunch of pissed off women out there in the suburbs I do, but are they as pissed off about this as they are about how much it costs to fill up their gas tank? I just don't know. And again, you know, sometimes I think both parties do this tremendously, but I'll speak for my own party. I think sometimes we so desperately wish that people cared about the issues that we want them to care about that we overplay our hand there, and remains to be seen. I mean, I may be totally wrong. It may be that this whole thing will be Roe-vember, as people call it, and it comes down to Roe, but I just don't know.
Yeah, no, you actually touch on a number of very important aspects of this. I've sat in on a couple of focus groups, follow a number of the more responsible and level-headed folks in this space who are not trying to further a political or partisan agenda. They really, hey, this is what people are actually thinking out here in America. You need to pay attention. And I've concluded that I think the Democrats are in a better position than conventional wisdom would tell them or would say at this point. I think they have the opportunity to hold the House, surprisingly. I'm one of a very, very small group of us who either have found some really good marijuana or just have a different political instinct about this. And I tend to think it's the latter, since I don't do the former.
Did you legalize that stuff in Maryland yet? Or are you still?
Yeah, we're working on that. We're working on it. That's on the ballot this November. But I think there is something there. I think the Roe decision, while again to your point not dispositive, has become sort of that piece of thread that ties a lot more together than people may believe. I think voters have for most part bifurcated themselves. They feel this way about Joe Biden. They feel a certain way about the economy. But then the democracy issue, the impact of the Supreme Court. These other things now weigh. And recent NBC Wall Street Journal poll came out, I believe, last Friday. 37% of Americans said, yep, the economy, right? That's number one. But you know what number two was? Democracy. 27%. That was not the case, to your point, 6 months ago. So you can see that there's something that's now flowing through the veins of voters when it comes to how they're assessing the election, where these types of decisions aren't necessarily going to boil down, as Republicans want, solely on the economics. Oh, yeah, I'm concerned about health, the price of gas and inflation. But then that white suburban Republican woman is saying, but you're going to take away my daughter's access to a choice she may have to make down the road. That bothers me too. What kind of world are you creating for my daughter? What kind of world are you creating for my granddaughter? And I think the party, Republican, you know, my party is overlooking that and they're discounting that. And I give you Kansas. I give you Kansas. No one saw Kansas coming and playing out the way they did. And I think that's a tell that we may see repeated in November.
I think you're right. I mean, Kansas to me was a referendum on the particular issue, right? It was a specific yes right. on abortion itself. The question for me, and this is something that I think you can't really quantify, so I'd be curious to see, again, focus groups on this that I haven't seen, but whether this view on abortion, which has become sort of extreme, right? It's not just getting rid of abortion in the third trimester, even after 20 weeks, which I think a lot of people might get behind. But it's getting rid, it's criminalizing abortion for the woman. It's criminalizing abortion for the doctor. It's banning abortion from basically day one. It's rape and incest. It's forcing a 10-year-old girl to cross state lines to get an abortion. And what's interesting to me is how that ties into this general sense of extremism that voters might have about the Republican Party with January 6th.
Right.
With other, you know, the assault on democracy generally. Some of these candidates who are running or just, I mean, you look at Doug Mastriano in Pennsylvania, who are just insane.
Right.
And when you look at all of that and you combine all of that, whether abortion is just one part of that piece, right? Because I think the problem with abortion typically is that people don't sit around every single people wake up every single day wondering how they're going to pay the mortgage. They're going to wake up every single day.
Exactly.
Fill the gas tank. They don't sit around every single day worrying about whether they or their daughter is going to be able to get an abortion until they actually need one. Right. But it's not a daily, it's not a daily struggle that people have. And so I'm curious as to whether abortion fits more into the larger piece of just this level of extremism, or whether even on its own, people are incensed enough about it. People, look, I'm almost 50 years old. People my age who are not planning on having any more kids or else, but are thinking about their daughters or their sons or whoever else, whether that's enough to motivate somebody to go to the polls. And I'm not convinced that in and of itself it is, because I don't think it's a daily pressing concern for people the way that the economy is.
You've done a great deal of work in elevating the role of women in politics. You have tried to create some lanes for that to happen. What still needs to happen in your view, particularly as you're looking at the landscape going into November and the number of women who are participating as candidates, the number of women who are playing the roles that you play as a consultant and advisor to candidates. How do you see that sort of creating an equalization, if you will, inside politics? You know, one thing I, in my many years, that I would always complain about is I would go into these rooms and I'd be the only brother in there. In fact, I was just literally at an event, at a meeting last week, in which I was literally the only, not only the only brother, but the only, you know, they're all men. So it was me and a whole bunch of white men. And one of the questions was like, where are the women? There are a lot of women who do what we're talking about. Why aren't they in the room? So we still see that as a barrier in so many respects, but you're finding ways to cut through that. What's your assessment of how to further that opportunity and encourage women to more fully participate in the political process?
So I'll tell you, it's a great question, because when I was first starting out, the first statewide campaign I ever did, and I was very, obviously I was 23, 24, very low level. It was about equal, 50% men, 50% women. And then almost imperceptibly, as the years ticked by, and that was almost 30 years ago now, as the years ticked by, I started looking around and I started noticing I was literally the only woman left in the back room, right? As you say, like where it happens, in the room where it happens. And I started to really wonder why. And I used to teach, there's something called the Women's Campaign School up at Yale. And I used to be on the board there. I used to teach a class there every year. So it's all women, or it was when I was there. And every year, some woman would raise her hand and start telling horrible stories about something that happened to her, either as a candidate on the campaign trail or as a staffer or as an operative. And she would start crying. And every year, I kind of roll my eyes and I think, okay, you know what? There's no crying in politics. Just suck it up. So somebody harassed you. So somebody said something mean to you. So somebody treated you poorly because you're a woman. Suck it up. As I'm sure you probably had to as black guys, right? Suck it up, just keep your head down, and just you'll get through it, and that's how you climb the ladder. And literally, that was the advice I gave to women for 20 years, and it was the worst piece of advice. I mean, I am so sorry. I feel like I should be on this, like, mea culpa tour of just apologizing to these women, because it was the worst advice possible. They shouldn't have to suck it up. The guys should cut it out. and the problem is, you know, I use the example of Governor Murphy. That was the first time and I was really senior. I mean, I was incredible. Right. I made the guy governor effectively. if I could get fired for that, what lesson does that show younger women who immediately, when they saw that happening to me, clamped up. I mean, I had a group of them in my house a few months later crying and saying to me, if this happened to you, we can't say there. I mean, and the sad part is 60% of them, if not more, have already left. And that was in 2017. They just don't want to be in the business anymore. So what's the message? What's the message to women, especially to younger women, when you see that no matter how far you get and how high you are, if you are a woman and you raise your hand and you say, I don't want to do this anymore, what's the message to, listen, I'm going to say as much about Fox as I can, but what's the message to women when anybody who's filed a lawsuit against Fox News no longer works there?
Yeah.
Is it their choice? Right. First of all, I didn't want to file a lawsuit. That's the worst part of this. I was kind of, that was my very last resort. I just wanted behavior to stop.
Right.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
Retaliation with Julie Roginski is a weekly podcast focused on the stories of women who have spoken truth to power and have persevered despite the costs. It shares the experiences of courageous people who have sometimes been celebrated, but too often castigated for standing up for themselves and for others. Each week, I examine the structures, systems, and culprits responsible for perpetuating and promoting workplace toxicity. You'll hear stories from female celebrities, music label executives, politicians, police officers, and many others as we examine the cultural reevaluations, policy changes, and legal steps that can finally bring an end to the ongoing attack on women in this country and around the world. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.